So, question for you here to start out. Have you ever been bowled over by a request to fulfill a task for which you were absolutely convinced you were unqualified and incompetent for? Anybody? You know, it's kind of like the way I feel when Czar asked me to go to the grocery store. And I come home with extra meat and cookies. So in the text today from Exodus, we're going to look here about a biblical hero who can answer this question with a yes, who totally felt this way. And so what I'm going to do with this message is I'm going to break this passage down here in Exodus chapter 3. So hopefully it'll make a little bit more sense and to try to get you to understand how important this passage is and how much there is in it. Instead of just a cool, you know, event in the Bible. So let's take a look at this. Exodus chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. And then he said, do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. All right, I'm going to stop right there. So a couple things here to point out in these first six verses is, you know I'm going to point it out, right? The mountain of God is where God is appearing. You know, God likes to use mountains to interact with his people. He does it all throughout Scripture. And here, God is picking a random mountain in the wilderness as the place that he is going to reveal his plan to save Israel from slavery, being slaves in Egypt. Now, just to give you an idea of how random this is, this mountain, we're not even sure where this mountain is to this day. We have a general area. Somewhere in the southern Sinai Peninsula is where this mountain is. It's Mount Horeb. We also call it, which is more recognizable, Mount Sinai. And by the way, Horeb means wasteland. So this is where God has decided to reveal himself to Moses to tell him what his plan is going to be. This desolate no man's land. He's going to reveal himself to Moses, who is tending sheep, which in those days, you know, was a mundane, bottom rung of the ladder type of job. This is how God always works. The second thing from these first six verses that I want to point out to you is it says the angel of the Lord. Now pay attention whenever you're reading in Scripture and it says angel of the Lord. A lot of times this angel of the Lord is God. Sometimes it's not. It's just a regular angel. But right here, this is God. And specifically, this is the Son of God, who is doing the speaking from this bush. And he tells Moses what? To take off his sandals. Because the place that he's at is holy ground. This is why it's, you know, proper for us and good order, you know, that we are reverent when we are in God's presence. That we take that seriously, you know. Holy ground. And so not only does God choose this mountain to call Moses, he does it in a burning bush. A burning bush that is not being burned up. Now, how does that happen? I don't know, but God can do whatever he wants. That's the answer. So let's go on here, verses 7 through 10. Then the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. All right. God, the Son of God, is speaking here from this burning bush and is telling Moses he has heard the cries of his people. Now, just a little side note here. His people have been crying out for over 400 years. Sometimes when we pray, we don't get what we want, do we? Right away. Sometimes we're called to be patient. But God hears. God commissions Moses for this job. This is what's happening here. The plan is to send Moses to Pharaoh to tell the Egyptians to let God's people go. So, God is calling Moses, I want to make this clear here, for this role. And Moses' response is, let's find out, verses 11 and 12. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? And God said, but I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain, which would happen later on in the book of Exodus. Now, I want you to picture this. You can close your eyes so you can envision this in your head. Pretend you're Moses. Moses is hiding his face because he doesn't want to look at God. That's what happens when a sinful creature like us is in the presence of a holy God. We can't look. So he's on his face. He's taking his sandals off. He's involved in a momentous meeting with God. God the Son, the second person of the Trinity, God has called him, Moses, to be his chosen leader. He's calling Moses into action from a burning bush that is not being burned up. And Moses responds with, who am I? Imagine the guts on this guy. It's almost like Moses is saying, thanks God, you know, has gotten the wrong guy. You sure, God? It's supposed to be me? Clearly, you don't know who I am. And how does God respond to him with this first objection? He tells him that he will be with him. And so after he tells him, I will be with you, you numbskull. He doesn't say that part. Moses responds with this. Well, let's find out in verses 13 through 15. Then Moses said to God, if I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations. So now here we get Moses' second objection to God. Who am I supposed to say sent me? Remind you, he's talking to a burning bush that isn't being burned up. He's talking to God, and he asks him, what's your name? Is that annoying anybody else?
And so God tells him his name. He tells him his name is I Am, which I have a picture here on the screen just to remind you, I Am. And in Hebrew, you have to read from the right to the left. That's Yahweh. It's more like a breath, Yahweh. That's God's name. You tell them, I Am sent you. This is not just some random story that's cool in the Bible. This is a real event with a real person, Moses, in a real place, Mount Sinai, Mount Horeb, whatever you want to call it. So what, you may be thinking, what does this have to do with my life, this event in the Old Testament? So there are two things I want to focus on here with you this morning from this passage here in Exodus chapter 3. And the first thing is Moses' first objection. Who am I? Who am I? You know, I think maybe some of us can identify with Moses here. Who am I? Why am I here? What am I doing? God, have you ever told God, I think you have the wrong person, like Moses did? Why do you want me? I can't do that. I'm not qualified. I'm too busy. I want to do what I want to do, God. I'm sure a lot of these thoughts were going through Moses' head as he was kind of freaking out there on the ground in this random wilderness called wasteland, talking to a burning bush. You know, I can answer that question, yes. Some of you know this story, some of you don't. I didn't want to be a pastor. I told God, I'm not qualified to do this. I can't do that. You have the wrong guy. I told him that for years. And then I was like, okay, I'll go to the seminary. And then even when I was there, I still said the same things to God. You clearly don't want me. Why am I here? What am I doing? Making excuse after excuse. And then it's like, okay. And then I started bargaining with God. Have you ever done that? Okay, I'll finish seminary, but I'll just be an associate pastor. And now obviously here I am as a senior pastor. So something that I've learned, don't tell God what you're not going to do. He will call your bluff. The point here is, I'm guessing a lot of you can maybe identify with this too. What Moses is going through. Who am I, God? The point is God has always used flawed, sinful people to accomplish his plan. Always. And when God calls you into action, whatever that may be, it's not just being called to be a pastor. You may be being called to volunteer in some way. You may be called to witness to a neighbor, to a friend, to a family member that has fallen away from the faith. And you might be saying, why me, God? Who am I? I can't do that. I'm not qualified. It doesn't matter what it is. When God calls you into action, you can be assured, just like he told Moses here, I will be with you. But wouldn't it be easier if we had a burning bush moment? I got to admit, that would definitely grab my attention. That wasn't burning up. But you know what? We do encounter God. We are in his presence every time you come to church. God is present in the bread and the wine. He is present in the baptismal font, his words. In the name of the God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, he is present. We are in his presence. We flawed sinners are in his presence. He promises us that, and he keeps all of his promises. You know, we're not much different than Moses. But this passage really isn't about Moses. Surprise, surprise. It's about the one who is calling him. Which brings me to my second important thing from this passage, which is God's name. I am. What a mic drop moment that was, don't you think? What's your name? I am. That's my name. I am who I am. I am the one that created everything. I'm the one that created you, Moses. I am the one who's talking to you from a burning bush. This is the personal name of the one and only true God, Yahweh. This is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Who, as I mentioned before, they've all passed away. They've been gone a long time before Moses comes on the scene. And God is telling Moses and us, he is the God of those guys. And Jesus tells us in that Luke passage, God's not a God of the dead. Those guys are alive with him in heaven. He is the God of the living. He is the living God. Which is why we call him that as well. This is the God who called Moses to save his people. You notice in verse 7 and 8, he said things like, I have seen my people, I have heard their cries, I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them. This is I am who sees you here in 2025. This is I am who hears your cries. This is I am who knows your sufferings. He knows what you go through on a daily basis and he cares. This is I am who came down to deliver us. The great I am sent Jesus, the Son of God, to take on human flesh, to shed his blood on that cross for you and for me, to give his life for you so that you and I can live forever. Yes, our earthly bodies will die. But this is also great comfort because we will live forever. Those loved ones that have gone on before us, they are alive. So when you hear, who am I? Amongst the world where everyone is seeking an identity, trying to figure out who they are, you can boldly say, I am a child of God. I am saved by the great I am who loves me so much, he sent his son Jesus who died on the cross for me. So when you were baptized here in the waters of holy baptism in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, you were brought into his family. You are a child of God. And you notice there's a cross here on the top of this baptismal font. You can boldly proclaim, "This is who I am. I am a child of God." Amen?